Hey viewers, real quick, click the top link in the video description to join my mailing list. I'll have merch and a book coming out soon, so join the mailing list and I can send you updates on those things. Thank you.
Hey man, how's your night been?
It's okay. How's your night?
Pretty good.
Cool.
So yeah, I just wanted to start off this conversation with abiogenesis. I just want to talk about life emerging, basically the first cellular life. And so how many hypotheses are there, do you think, for that process at this point that is like accepted or taken seriously to some extent?
I don't really know, I guess. I couldn't give you a specific hypothesis about it, except like we have some pretty decent ideas about where it likely arose and like what some of the first steps may have been.
Sure. So like where it likely arose, I've seen a hypothesis that it's like hydrothermal vents or something deep in the ocean. I've seen other sources that say
that seems to be maybe the best candidate.
Okay, so why is that the best candidate over celestial bodies like these materials brought over by like an asteroid or something like that? Why is
the asteroid would only have like seeded the molecules that life uses, but that's not really a chemical process. The thing about hydrothermal vents is there are chemical processes that go on around them that are analogous to life in some ways. So like, for example, we see very cyclical pathways to the Krebs cycle, which every living cell on this planet uses the Krebs cycle to extract energy. And around hydrothermal vents, we also see phospholipid membranes can sort of like spontaneously form and form a vaguely cell-like structure. And so the idea kind of goes that we think that perhaps a combination of molecules that can sort of self-assemble, and we know about those, they exist in nature, and a metabolism to keep the process going, being encapsulated within membranes, formed the first cell-like things on this planet.
Sure. So in that way, though, I kind of see that as just as valid as the panspermia or it coming from a celestial body, because in that same way, you're talking about analogous material.
That's not abiogenesis.
Sure, but like, how do you think abiogenesis worked off of these materials? Because I'm not denying that these materials exist. Like, the human body's made out of a few dozen elements, right? So I'm not denying that that's fine, but is it more than just correlation to assert that, hey, this is how a cell came to be? Or is it just material, like very rudimentary material that isn't, like, how are you making that leap from this rudimentary cell material to a cell? Like, what's the process there? Do you have any?
The process, I mean, a biochemist could probably put this in more sophisticated terms, but we know that those, like the Krebs cycle, the things that we find that are similar to the Krebs cycle, those systems catalyze themselves and then they keep going perpetually. So we have a way for the system to keep auto-generating, basically. And we know of molecules that can catalyze their own synthesis too. So whether it started with RNA or DNA, we don't know that. There are ideas about that. But the whole system basically comes together through just sort of random trial and error in a way, but the facts of like the way the chemistry works is like the chemistry is fairly well understood, and the chemistry itself isn't random. I mean, the cycles and everything happen, you know, for a reason, not like teleologically, but they operate according to these they operate in a way that is similar to life. And if life evolved, abiogenesis isn't really evolution, but we can just say it is. If life evolved, it evolved from, in the initial state, it was far less complex than we see it today. So the idea that we find simple rudimentary things that are similar to life is consistent with the idea that life could have naturally arose from precursor metabolic pathways and chemical pathways and things that we find here on Earth.
But notice how you said reasons. So there are reasons for this life that is here to replicate and to survive. Whereas if you look at the whole
Yeah,
universe, if you look
if
at
I drop a rock, it falls because of gravity. That's the reason. But I specifically said it's not a teleology.
Sure, but in so much chaos, you're finding this specific gap or this specific pocket of where reason comes from non-reason or rationality comes from not the non-rational.
That was
So,
ne I never talked about anything like that at all.
well, don't you agree that we have a rational mind? Or would you not agree?
I think that we do, yeah.
Sure,
But then
so
again, I'm biased.
yeah, I mean, if we have a rational mind, it's very simple. The conclusion is our rational mind came from the irrational, the non-rational. So my point is
Irrational and
that
non-rational are very different.
yeah, so that's why I corrected myself, the non-rational.
Yeah. I mean,
So,
do you have a pet?
no, but I like dogs.
Okay, so are dogs made of dog food?
No.
But that's all they eat.
Sure.
So at some point, dog food becomes dog.
Okay, what's your conclusion?
So what I'm trying to illustrate to you is that something can evolve or emerge from parts that aren't the thing itself, and that's in no way does that make us throw our hands up and be like, oh, it's literally impossible.
Well, but what you're saying is very simple things become more complex over time, right?
Yeah, they can.
Sure, and you kind of have to take that lens if you if from a naturalist perspective, and that's why top level scientists say that the universe maybe emerged basically from nothing, right? Because we're talking about very simple
Nobody
things getting more
says that.
complicated over time. But I've heard a lot of atheists on TikTok say that nobody says that. But Peter Atkins, who's a very smart man, says that. So that's an example. I was just watching a debate today, so that's not true. There are many scientists that hold what they're trying to figure out what nothing is.
I've read Peter Atkins' book, or well, one of his books, and he doesn't believe in like a literal nothing. He's talking about types of nothing. So, like an example he gives is the universe has no static charge, but that's because the universe has things that are positively and negatively charged. But as far as we can tell, with extreme precision, they all cancel each other out. So, yeah, he has this idea where the way he words it is nothing rolled over into something. And I don't even know what he means by that, but I've heard him talk about this, and he specifically was like, yeah, Lawrence Krauss's book was terrible. I didn't like it. He
Yeah, I
doesn't
was
really
literally
believe
watching a
in.
debate and talking about all this, but continue. Yep. No,
Well,
you're spot on.
I don't have anything interesting to add then.
Sure, and you're spot on. Well, I would like to say one
My
thing. Do you
poo.
think the universe, our universe, reality can be infinite?
I have no idea.
Okay,
Maybe.
but my contention is infinity is not a real number, right? It's not a real thing. So if we're
Numbers
talking
aren't
about within the,
real numbers.
if we're talking about the constructs of our universe and we're going to appeal to an infinity, first and foremost, the material universe can't even have infinite set of things, because that's just a
You
that's
don't
not
know
even a real
that.
thing. But infinity is not a real thing, right?
It's not.
No.
How do you
Infinity
know
is not
that?
real. So do you think infinity is real?
I don't know. But I'd like to see the evidence that it can't exist.
There are logical sequences that I don't have. I was actually watching William Lane Craig talk about this, why it cannot be infinite. But realistically, I'm talking about that because the source of the finite material universe would have to come from an infinite, spaceless, timeless entity that's basically in
Why?
another
Why
dimension.
does it have to do that?
Because where else? So if you have to, because if it's finite, it has a beginning.
So, do you know what a like in a I guess this would be geometry. Do you know what a ray is? The difference between a ray and a line?
I know array, like, is, I mean, I'm not certain on the particulars with what array is, to be honest. I know it's embarrassing, but I would assume array is
Array,
like
you
more
draw a
like a
point and then it
bendy thing,
extends out.
like a bendy type of line where you can, I don't
No,
know.
array is a straight line that begins at a point and then extends forever. So array is literally infinite and has a beginning.
Sure, but that's in the
Sure.
mathematical realm. That's like
Sure.
abstract. That's like a different thing, right? So that's like the abstract world. We have different realities, so I guess that's a different one, but I'm talking
Sure.
about the material world.
Why does something finite, why can something finite not have a beginning?
No, something finite has to have a beginning.
Yeah,
How can it?
I must have said that wrong. Why must something that is finite, sorry, why is it that something that is infinite can't have a beginning? That's the proper question.
Sure, yeah. So if it's infinite, it wouldn't have a beginning or end. It's just right in its name. It's eternal, eternity. So, like, if I were to say God is the eternal
I've
space of
literally
time
no
and
idea
center.
what you mean by infinity at this point.
So what I'm saying with infinity is we don't have infinity in our material world, as although it's a concept that we know of,
You don't know
but
that.
it's a concept we use, but it's not a real thing.
So God's not real.
Well, that's where we got nothing or a god, right?
God's not real, everybody.
That's where we got
Things that are
that's
said to be infinite aren't real. God is infinite. God does not exist.
where we have either it came from nothing or it comes from an infinite internal mind. That's why Peter Atkins is always going back to what was
You just
nothing.
said that things that are infinite don't really exist and they can't exist.
Sure, except if it's nothing, which is impossible. So we can't have nothing and we can't have an infinite amount of things. Those are two things that we can't have. So you're
No, you
saying,
said
so
things that
Peter
are
Atkins is a
infinite
theorist.
can't exist, and you said God is infinite, therefore God does not exist.
Not in this world as we know how he can exist. He's in a different dimension. He's outside of space and time.
Prove it.
Okay, but that's why I brought up nothing, because then you have to actually appeal to an actual nothing or an actual infinity.
No,
And I can show you.
I don't have to do that.
Okay, we have good evidence to believe the universe began about 14 billion years ago.
Yep. We're not
Because we
talking
can.
about whether or not it began 14 billion years ago. We're talking about what it means for something to be infinite. Apparently, infinite things can't exist. The God you believe in apparently is infinite, so he can't exist. But then you say he exists in a different dimension, so I'm asking you to demonstrate any reason I should have to believe that.
Sure.
But even if you do, then you're still doing what's called special pleading.
Sure. So top-level scientists that are not theists maintain there are a few. Well, not just a few. This is they're doing the research right now. The only reason there's a few is because it's very complicated stuff. But there's a causal agent beyond space and time that caused the universe. They don't know what it is, and so what they're chalking it up to be is that the cosmological constant might be wrong.
No, science. So you're telling me that scientists think that a causal agent that is God made the universe begin to
No,
exist?
they didn't say that. I'm talking about
Okay.
atheist scientists, and they're talking about
Sure.
basically dark energy. In a way, what we have is dark energy right now, but what they're saying is something like that, or a derivative. It's a derivative of something that was the causal agent that was beyond space and time. And the reason you have to go to that is because we can literally see the universe expanding. We have the pictures, and we know how big the universe was 14 billion years ago. So that's why we say it's the beginning. Because there was no space-time. There's no area to measure any space-time. And
Yeah,
that
but
came
there's
into
still a, yeah, but
existence.
there still could have been a universe.
Sure, but your universe in what? In what fabric? Not in the fabric of space-time.
Maybe it didn't have a fabric, but it was still the universe.
But you're just saying that. That's just a claim. You're just saying we have a universe before space-time. That's the same nonsense.
I knew this guy named Pruck, and he would just make wild claims that an infinite God, even though infinite things can't exist, existed in a different dimension where there
Isn't
is
your
no time.
nonsense just
He would
as much
just
my
make claims
nonsense?
like that. It was so wild. Yeah.
No, but isn't your nonsense just as much as my nonsense
I
when
never
you say, oh, like
why is So if mine is
space and time, there is the
nonsense,
universe,
look,
right?
you
Like,
either have to admit that you believe in nonsense or that calling my thing nonsense is special, is you engaging in special pleading. So which one is it?
well, I'm saying it from your lens, the way you're arguing. It's
I'm
like you're
saying it from
arguing.
your lens. So you either have to
Okay, but
admit that
I'm
you
telling
believe
you.
in nonsense or that you're doing special
I
pleading.
don't, though, because at least I have more evidence to suggest the
You have
universe
no
began 14.
evidence.
What's your evidence for the universe existing before space and time came into existence?
I don't have any evidence, but I'm
Exactly.
not
So
saying
based on
that
that
that's
data,
what
we can make
happened.
inferences.
And you don't have any evidence. So either both of our
We do.
ideas are equivalent, or you believe in yours because it's your idea, and you don't believe in mine because it's my idea, which means you're doing special pleading.
Well, dude, I think we have more evidence to suggest that it is finite than what you're saying is that the universe is eternal. And the reason is you always go to we can't
Sure,
observe
that's
past time
fine. I'm
or
fine with
whatever, right?
that.
We can't observe past, but
I'm fine with the idea that the universe is, in the concept of what we understand as time, has a beginning. But what I'm telling you is, I don't see why it's impossible that the universe, well, we weren't really talking about time, but the universe could have
space
existed,
and time.
right? So can a universe exist even if those things aren't occurring? Like if a universe was, before it expanded, was collapsed into like an actual singularity, then the concept of time perhaps is just irrelevant. This isn't even what I believe, but I don't think it's impossible. We
Well, you
know
can say the
that the
concept of
universe
time is irrelevant,
exists.
but it doesn't take away that time would have to still be there for the particles to assemble into the singularity. They'd still have to be in a fabric of time. How can you
When
justify it
the
not?
universe as we understand it began to start expanding, yes. But before that time, maybe it's different. Maybe it's extremely weird. There are things, like we know for a fact that black holes exist, but we don't understand the nature of the singularity at all. Modern physics, which discovered the black holes, is still completely incapable of describing the black hole like itself within the singularity.
But here's, if it was just that, I'd agree with you. But then you go past that and you understand the emergent properties of the singularity create a universe in which life can exist. And
What?
so the emergent pro the singularity produces, in a way, a universe where life can exist, and that's dependent
Sure.
upon the expansion of the universe, like the cosmological constant. It needs to expand at a very specific rate that's life permitting, and that singularity, the way that it's the effect of it, has the cosmological constant and all the constants, 100 universal constants that allow us to live here.
Yeah, what about them?
I'm just saying, so now you have to say, hey, is this a multiverse type of deal, or is this just the height of improbability and we are here in this one universe that's life permitting based upon the expansion rate of the universe, the amount of dark energy in the universe, the gravitational constant, etc.
What does this have to do with anything that we've been talking about so far?
It has to do with basically the whole cosmological argument, from the beginning to the fine tuning, the singularity that we're talking about to the effects of that singularity, what the singularity actually produced. And that singularity we're talking about points us to a god, because in my opinion, a god had to have caused the singularity, caused the expansion of space-time, caused space-time. You have no hypothesis in
So
your
you
thought.
are telling me you don't have a hypothesis. It certainly isn't
Our
scientific.
hypo the hypothesis is that God created the
That's
singularity
not
in
a
space-time.
hypothesis because that's not a scientific idea and it's untestable.
So if I can make God like fit scientific criteria in whatever
Then he
lens you
wouldn't
want,
be
then it would.
God.
What if God was a person that just had the faculties to create this universe and the glory
Then
of it?
it wouldn't be God.
Well, that's who I believe God is. He's all powerful over his creation. And pastors I know that I respect, because there's a lot of pastors you don't respect, but there's some that I really do respect that have the
Cool.
same. Yeah. So, I mean, you could hold that view, bro. And yeah.
So, again, if we rewind a little bit, we're still doing special pleading because you're saying the universe has to have a cause, therefore, an uncaused cause has to have formed the universe. If
Yes.
you're literally breaking your own rule. It's called
what's the rule?
A form of special pleading.
I'm not special pleading because we have the pictures, we have the imagery of the universe expanding,
and we have the math, we have the cosmological constant, and we know the expansion rate at different times, so we
can
see.
That's not even close to what I'm talking about. I agree with you on all of that.
Okay, so what I'm saying is that if we have all this information, what I can do is make inferences, right? So I can take this data and make some reasonable inferences. You can say it's super complicated, and you can go your own way and say, oh, this is very complicated. There was no time. It existed in a vacuum of no time. I don't even know what the hell that means, right? You can make these speculations.
Neither, but I don't know what a being that exists in a different dimension where time doesn't happen is. See, like I said, maybe the universe existed in a state where it exists, but the concept of time means really nothing, and perhaps time doesn't flow. And you said, that's so stupid. What it really is there's this different dimension where time doesn't exist and God lives there. And that's
yes.
The, see, you're just,
you know, but it's a,
how do you not
state.
Understand that
no, but
this is special pleading?
You have to understand the, what we're in right now, we're in like a physical domain, but God is in a, probably in a conscious state. So it's probably like a dream type state.
Probably
it's immaterial. It's immaterial, bro. It's immaterial, spaceless.
What
time
does that mean?
So you call it nothing. That's why top level physicists
call
it nothing.
No, I don't have any.
Okay,
I
you
don't tell
don't.
Anybody
sorry.
What nothing is. I don't
okay,
do that.
Okay, you don't say that. But a lot of physicists like Peter Atkins, who says basically nothing, let's just say basically nothing did it, or God did
sure.
it.
Sure. Peter Atkins does not say that God did it.
Okay, yeah, he doesn't. He's a hardcore atheist, man. It's funny.
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, it's funny, but So that's his postulation, and it shows you that if you're an atheist, you can justify anything you want to believe. You can rationalize anything you want to believe. You can rationalize.
So can you.
You can rationalize.
We actually don't, but you do.
You can rationalize.
Now you're a pot calling a kettle black.
No, but you're rationalizing that 14 billion years ago, space-time in this universe as we know it basically came from nothing.
No.
So what is it? Is it an eternal crunch?
I don't know. I don't have an opinion on it.
Okay, so you're just fine. But what do you think in light of the fact that somebody said he was God in human form and said there was a heaven and a hell and this is an altered reality? Well, like, don't you think you need to make decisions?
Yeah, so you've assumed thousands of things before you even get to that claim. For one, we have no good evidence that any of that ever happened. We have hundredth-hand accounts of it happening by people that never saw any of it happen that spoke a different language.
Sure, we have the Gospels, which were in the first century, though, right?
We think that the three of the Gospels, I believe, were written in the first century, but still several decades after Jesus died, by people that never knew him in a different language. And we don't have any of those first gospels. All we have are copies of 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 those.
We have a fragment of the Gospel of John, and I think it might be the Gospel of John. I don't know, but it's in the John Rylands Museum, dated 120-ish AD. We know that
it's,
the Gospel.
Yes, it contains less than a dozen words on it.
Okay, sure. We have Ignatius, Bishop of Antioch, and Clement, Bishop of Rome, quoting the Gospels in 95 AD and 115 AD, respectively. Okay, have that.
Yeah, how much of the Gospels did they quote?
I'm not sure.
Me neither.
Sure, but it's still there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John were quoted by Clement, Bishop of Rome, 95 AD. That's that simple. So we know it's written in the first century. You can say it was a few decades later, 20 to 60 years later. That's the consensus. And so, fine. But what you have to understand, this is the first century, and you had the whole known world who had the whole church, right? So they were speaking, communicating it. And what's written down is when the eyewitnesses started to die off, they understood they needed to write it down. Now, the eyewitnesses had notes. So they had notes.
What evidence do you have that eyewitnesses had notes? What evidence
right?
of this do you have?
I don't have evidence offhand for that, but I got that from a pastor who I was talking to. They had notes
This is a story. There is no evidence to support this. It's an apologetic tactic, but there's absolutely no evidence that an actual Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John carried around with them notes of the things that they saw.
They didn't carry around with them notes, but they had notes of what had transpired. It was commonly spoken of in the churches in the known world through oral tradition. And you're talking about no evidence of this so condescendingly, but realize the other people of the time, like Tiberius Caesar, who was the emperor, or other big historical figures, when you compare the historical evidence, what do you have? We have an impressive amount for Christ, and that's that. But then we talk about the empty tomb. We talk about a bunch of Jewish people deciding to now all of a sudden be Christian, and that can only be explained by the empty tomb, resurrection.
No, what are you talking about? Like 30 million people think Trump won the election despite the fact that he didn't.
Do you think
the only way they can believe that is if it's true? The fuck it is.
So this man who was crucified that did not fulfill the ultimate prophecies of the Messiah, right? Is the Jews are now calling him Christ and now making a commotion about it, and you're telling me that's not based upon the fact that the tomb was empty. So what?
It's based upon them believing it.
It's based upon the fact that the tomb was empty, and
it's based
I would
upon
add
them believing
that there were
it.
Appearances post-mortem.
Okay, so you think Trump won the election because the 30 million people think he did, and it's based on the fact that he
would
did.
Would any one of those 30 million people, even though...
die for what they believe in, is what you're going to say?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure some of them would. In fact, Ashley Babbitt did.
Okay, but here's the difference. Those apostles died for what they had claimed to have seen. They died fabricating a lie. They wouldn't die. They died for these things.
One of their deaths is talked about in the entire Bible. The rest, it's just tradition.
Okay, so I would probably believe that they got killed for their faith.
Cool. That doesn't make it true. Ashley Babbitt died for a lie.
Okay, fair enough.
Silly Babbitt.
But it's the whole picture. It's the empty tomb. It's the fact that Jesus was crucified.
You're assuming an empty tomb.
I'm assuming an empty tomb.
Yeah, we have no evidence of that either. It's contrary to everything we know about the way that that world worked.
Dude, you're just making assumptions based on what you think.
I'm making inferences based on known historical information.
Okay, and the known historical information is more overwhelming for that tomb than what you're
saying.
No,
it's not. Rome left people that they crucified out as warnings to other people to be picked apart by buzzards. Now, there is some information that certain Jewish people, when they asked for burials, were granted it.
Yes.
But I've seen those, Inspiring Philosophy has a really awful video where he tried to do this. And he puts up a quote. But he perhaps didn't notice or didn't care that right in the middle of it, it says, but Rome especially did not grant this privilege to people convicted of insurrection, which is exactly what Jesus was crucified for.
Lucky for you, in the Bible, in the Gospels, it says Joseph of Arimathea pays for that tomb, and he's a rich man who pays for the tomb.
Yep, that's the story, okay? What evidence do we have to believe the claim? That claim is that you are pretending that you have this idea that you came up with and then you found corroborating evidence. No, this idea was around long before you. You are just repeating a claim that goes against all of the known evidence. That's what's happening.
You made claims and you didn't bring any known evidence. Those were all claims.
I literally quoted historical data that an apologist used to try to make an excuse for how this story can possibly be believable. But I showed how if we actually look at what the data says, it makes the story wildly improbable.
A well-known politician of the day, Joseph of Arimathea, paid for the tomb.
Yeah, that's what the book says.
Right in the gospel.
There's a book that says that George Washington chopped down a cherry tree when he was a wee lad, but he fucking didn't. Your argument is
Sure, but you gotta try it too. Okay, so do you think it's Christ's responsibility to leave you with
Why are we talking
extraordinary?
about this, actually? I'm so sorry,
Do
what
you
was your question?
think it's Christ's responsibility to give you extraordinary evidence for the extraordinary events?
So if the penalty is literally an infinite torture and he doesn't do everything that he possibly could to try to get people to understand that, then yes, it would be, and he would be evil if he didn't.
Or he's left information, he's left us with an option, and for those who have read the Gospels and have read his brilliant ethical teachings, to have humility and a soft heart, to actually believe in a God that they can't see or hear, maybe that's the
and anything that's less than
the
absolute
of love.
Anything less
Or
than
maybe.
absolute certainty, when you're going to give people the alternative of an infinite punishment, is completely unacceptable. And it obviously isn't absolute certainty, because people you can't deny something that you know is true.
I know you think it's unacceptable, but there's a common rebuttal for this, and it's love. Okay, that is the rebuttal. It's free will and love. Okay, so
an all-loving being.
What you're
cannot,
talking about? The scenario.
Can you punish? Can you? Okay, why are people punished in hell? Why?
Yeah, they did it their own way in this world. They did life their own way. They sinned.
So why are they punished for eternity? What's the point of being punished?
I don't know 100% if they're punished for eternity.
Why are you underwater at the moment?
Underwater?
Yes.
Oh, sorry. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
Why are they punished?
I don't know, dude. I don't know 100%.
So you literally have no idea how God's justice system works, but
nope.
You're claiming he's
it's
all loving and that this is somehow morality. Like,
here's why.
That your okay. argument is
the scenario you pictured with God revealing himself to everybody, making it known that he is God, puts it in a way that we are forced to worship him. He is coercing
us. So we don't
us,
have free will.
Okay? If he had done that, but he did not do that. And see, that's why it falls apart. What you just pictured as a scenario doesn't work. It doesn't work to uphold the value of love. There needs to be a free decision. What you're talking about, we go into coercion. That's coercion. That's not love. It needs to be a free decision to accept God and say, I can't do it by myself. I can't see you. I can't hear you. You've left information. I'm going to trust you to make it happen.
Would you let a child kill themselves?
No, I would not.
So you'd coerce them into living?
Yeah. Yes.
We're done here. Goodbye.